It is time for another episode of Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. And as usual, we're excited. Tonight promises to be an awesome program, and we have some really great guests. That's right, guests, plural, coming on tonight. And so I am greatly looking forward to all of the insights, information, wisdom that gets shared during this program. I hope everyone that's listening is doing well. I know I am. I played a great bout of tennis earlier today. Lots of fun. Just a thought, for those of you that spend a lot of time sitting at your computers doing research and listening to audios like mine, praise God for that. But take some time to get some fresh air, to get a workout in. It's really good for the body. Don't know why I'm saying that, but I might be speaking to someone today. You know what? You might just need to get out and get some exercise. With that said, everyone, welcome to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. I want to make sure that everyone listening knows about all of the avenues through which they can access this program or have others access our program. We are on blogtalkradio.com, and all of our programs get copied over to the archives there. Also, all of these programs will get copied over to iTunes podcasts, and you can also find us at our website, www.discoveringthetruthwithdanduvall.com. At that website, you will find links to be able to watch this program live, which is from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays. You'll be able to watch this program live with video. Not only that, there are also links to the archived video presentations of this program at that site as well, so you can go back and look at all of the programs we've done by date to watch this program with the live video component. So if you really appreciate the program, make sure you take advantage of that. And for those of you that just want to listen to the audio and so forth, want an easy way to access that, www.bridemovement.com. Now, that's our ministry website. If you go there, you will find a link to the radio program, and when you click that tab, it'll take you to the archives. At the archives, you can find all the programs by name and explanation, definition of the program, who we had on, what we talked about. So make sure you check that out. If you have just heard a couple of our shows, go through our archives. See what resonates with you. Listen to those programs. We have a lot of information. We've had lots of guests on various topics. And it's just been an incredible journey. Frankly, we are coming up on what will be our one-year anniversary doing this radio program, which is amazing to me that time just flies by so fast. But yes, Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is almost 1 year old. So we're praising God for that and for all that he's done. Moving forward, Bride Ministries, because this is a ministry, and the radio program is an element of our ministry, we do operate on donations. This radio program is not supported by commercials, and I haven't felt the leading to move in that direction. So we are supported entirely by donations. If this program, if our ministry has ministered to you, please consider visiting www.bridemovement.com and sowing a seed into what we're doing. We do want to grow, and as a matter of fact, before we bring on any guests this week, I want to let my listeners know that we really do have some really interesting opportunities opening up for us. I sat down with some people, and what's on the table is an opportunity to do television. That's right, folks. Television on a cable network in a really local Chicago area starting, but the goal would obviously be to expand from there. However, I want you to know that there is an opportunity for us to get on television. Can you imagine the kind of guests and conversations and things which are occurring on our radio broadcasts through the internet going to televisions? I think it would be absolutely revolutionary. And so we want to do it. The problem, it costs some money. Right now, what we're targeting for is about $3,000 a month in income that we can count on and plan on in order for us to move in that direction. Because, you know, one of the things Jesus communicates to us is that we never begin to build a tower without first counting the cost. Well, I've counted the cost, and frankly, I believe that God will supply. But I don't think we'll be moving in that direction until the supplies come in, you know. Otherwise, we could bankrupt our ministry in a matter of months. So, really, what I want is to let my audience know there is an opportunity to sow into a real advancement in the kingdom of God through this ministry. And if this is something that resonates with you and you say, wow, this is pretty cool, I'd actually like to see Daniel Duvall on television, the Bride Ministries moving in that direction, get on board with us. www.bridemovement.com. For those of you that are listening to this for the first time, maybe you're not so familiar with me as a radio host, I'm the author of two books that are published, Noah's Ark and the End of Days, and also Wounded by Leadership. Noah's Ark and the End of Days is a book about God's plan in and through his church in the last days. I believe that there is a lot to do to the last days that hasn't been discussed, has been ignored, overlooked. And I wrote the book to show a pattern of how God plans to introduce, one, unity, and two, greater works through his people as we move into the last days. It's a powerful book while also touching on issues like Nephilim, fallen angels, seals, bowls, trumpets, these elements of the book of Revelation and so forth. If you're looking for an expose on the book of Revelation, something that brings a lot of the pieces together, answers a lot of questions, but also preaches the power of God, please check out my book, Noah's Ark and the End of Days, available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon and a host of other places. So with that said, Wounded by Leadership is also very exciting work. People have been hurt, and they've been hurt by church, by religion, by a pursuit of Jesus Christ that they thought was good and beneficial, which it is, only to find that the very leaders that they were submitting to were actually causing them more problems than the devil. Really, there are a lot of people that have been hurt and wounded by the church and by church leaders. I wrote Wounded by Leadership for that purpose, for that crowd, for that audience, for that target. I want you to know that if that's you, there is help. There are resources, and there is there are methods for God to bring to you the healing that you need. And I personally went through a long series of injuries and pain and difficulty with the church. And in spite of all the things that I went through personally, God grew me, he matured me, he brought me to new levels in my relationship with him through the process. It really, what a lot of this became for me was a refining fire. What I want you to know is that God taught me a lot of things along the road that I traveled to get to where I am. And a lot of the things that he taught me had to do with how to overcome the obstacles that I was being presented because of leadership and the different things I went through. So at the tail end of everything, God told me, write a book about it. Tell people, how did I help you? How can they get the help that they are asking for? They're praying to me for help. Praying for it. Write a book. And I did. I wrote the book. It not only details my story, the things I suffered, it gives a solid biblical foundation and real tools for overcoming the situation and becoming a better person in spite of the obstacles that you've suffered. So, please check out Wounded by Leadership. Now, the call-in number for this program is 718-766-4160. That's 718-766-4160. Tonight, we will be having on two guests. And it doesn't look like our first guest has called in just yet. And so I'm going to spend a little bit of time just discussing some of the things that are on my heart. What we have to look forward to is a visit and conversation with Rick Wiles from True News. And man, are they doing some awesome things now. But I'm not going to spoil the story because I'm going to let him talk about it. And it looks like we're being joined by someone right now, which I assume is our guest. So before we bring him on, let me introduce him properly. Rick Wiles is a citizen reporter who decided to take on big news media. Starting with a $7,500 donation in May of 1999 to launch the first radio program, Rick's faith in God and steadfast determination has overseen the growth and development of True News into an internationally recognized source of credible news and information in a world where nothing seems to make sense anymore. Rick's professional career was in media, marketing, and advertising sales. Throughout his early years, God's hand silently guided him to be employed in the latest news media. While in his early 20s, Rick's first media job was with a new FM station in the days when AM was still king. In 1980, he blazed the path as a pioneer in local cable television advertising when CNN and ESPN were new startup channels on cable TV. As a sales manager, he launched one of the first cable advertising interconnects in the nation. He was hired in 1984 by the Christian Broadcasting Network as the first national cable marketing manager for the new CBN cable network, which later became the Family Channel. In 1995, Paul Crouch hired Rick as the marketing director for Trinity Broadcasting Network, where Rick repositioned the TBN brand inside the cable industry and played an important role in negotiating the early contracts to launch TBN on DirecTV, Dish, and the former Primestar DBS systems. Rick resigned from TBN in September of 1998 after receiving a dramatic call from God to full-time ministry. And here we are about 15 years later. Rick, how are you doing?
Hey, Dan, I'm doing really, really good. How are you tonight?
Very excited, Rick. This is the first time we're actually getting a chance to conversate. But even in listening to your radio program, I really resonate with your spirit, man, I got to tell you. And I'm just really excited about everything that God is doing on your end, what he's done with True News. And really, I want to get started by letting you tell us about some of this good news, because you've taken True News from really a baby. It was your baby. God gave it to you. And now it has grown into really a spectacular ministry. And I want to hear the story a little bit, how it came about to come to where it is now and where you guys are going as
well,
we speak.
Well, Dan, first of all, it's always been God's ministry. It still is today. And I really didn't have anything to do with it growing other than showing up every day. And I mean that very seriously. Showing up, being faithful, is about 80% of being successful in anything. God will reward faithfulness. And if you'll just stay with something, that when the Lord gives you a work to do, if you'll just stay with it and be faithful in good times and bad times and just continue, no matter what's happening, the Lord will just continue. He'll continue to give increase to what you're doing. And so really that's what's happened over these 15 years. It's just given us increase as we have proven ourselves to be faithful. And but, you know, it all started, it started literally with an open vision that I had one day in April of 1998. I was working at TBN, and I had a very, very demanding job. I was doing a lot of traveling around the United States, and I was meeting with high-powered cable industry executives as we were moving TBN into more and more cable systems. And so, I really had a very exciting job, and I was very happy doing what I was doing. And the Holy Spirit started dealing with me about a fast, and I was actually too busy to fast. You know, I hate to say that, but we can become so busy working for God that we don't have time to be quiet and listen to the Lord. But the prompting to fast would not go away. So I finally, sometime there in April 1998, I started, I'm going to go on a fast. And somewhere, I don't know, the third or fourth day of the fast, I heard the Holy Spirit in my heart. I was just, I mean, just a prompting to go to the chapel in the TVN building. I worked in Irving, Texas. And so I told the receptionist to hold my calls. I'd be gone for a few minutes. And little did I know what was going to happen to me. And when I got into the chapel, I'm giving you, this is a short version. There was just an overwhelming presence of the holiness of God there. And you know, I didn't see him. It wasn't like he was, excuse me, standing there. But the holiness was so great that, I mean, literally, you know, knees knocking. I was in fear of the presence of God. It was so great. I actually thought, I'm going to turn around and he's going to be standing there looking at me. And it wasn't a fear, you know, of being terrified of God. It was an awareness that his holiness was in the room. And anyhow,
that's powerful.
It was very powerful.
Can I just stop you right there?
Yeah, go ahead.
You were in a room with the presence of God literally hovering all around you. I mean, that must have been so spectacular.
It was. But Dan, the main thing, let me tell you what happens when I hear people say that, you know, hey, if Jesus ever walked into the room, I would be, you know, I would be dancing and shouting. Let me tell you something. You won't. you will be flat on your face, trembling, because his presence is so overwhelming, and you are instantly aware of your humanity. And that's where I was at. And what was happening to me was that I was suddenly aware of all my faults, my weaknesses, my sins, everything. I mean, I was in the presence of the Holy God. And, excuse me, I was very aware that I was a mere mortal human being. And he showed me all the things in my life that were not pleasing to him. And so, I had some serious time repenting. Now, here I was working for TBN. I'd been a Christian for years, and I thought, you know, everything is great in my life. But you get in the presence of the Lord, and you realize, no, there's still a lot of flesh. There's still a lot of carnality. There's still too much of me. And so the Lord showed me all this stuff, and so I repented, and the Lord forgave. And then this is when it happened. It was like a movie screen appeared, and I was watching a movie in front of my eyes. And what I saw was a city on fire. I knew it was an American city. And the buildings, they were skyscrapers, the buildings were on fire, and I saw people fleeing from the buildings. I saw the smoke pouring from the buildings. And I saw refugees. They were literally refugees straggling out of the city. And I asked the Lord, I said, what is this? What am I seeing? And he said, this is your country's future if America does not repent. And
wow.
I wept and cried and I said, what? Why are you showing this to me? And he said, just as I brought your sins to your face in one moment, I will bring America's sins to her face in one moment. And America will have to decide whether to repent or perish. And you know, I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? And he said, I'm calling you today to warn you, to warn the nation. And I said, what am I supposed to say? I don't know what to say. And he said, tell them to repent. And I'm like, but Lord, do you remember the conversation we just had when I walked in the door? And you showed me all my sins? Why am I the person that you're sending me out to go do this job? And what I heard, Dan, was, the Lord was saying, I didn't choose you because you're so holy. I chose you because you're a good repenter. He said, when I convict you, you repent. Go and tell the people to do the same thing. And he said, if they'll just repent, I will forgive their sins and I will spare the nation the judgment.
And that is so powerful.
Let me tell you what happened that night. I was so shaken by the experience. I did not tell anybody. I didn't know anybody at TBN. And when I went home, I didn't tell my wife or my family. My son and daughter were still at home at the time. And I didn't say anything. But the next morning, my daughter, Carissa, who was just in her early 20s at the time, and she said, Dad, I had a Jesus spoke to me last night. You know, I did a double take. I go, you had a dream about the Lord? She goes, no. He walked into my room while I was asleep, and he spoke to me in my sleep. I said, okay, I'm listening. What did he say? And he said, daughter, beginning tonight, I'm going to speak to you about the last days through dreams and visions. And she said, I had a dream about the last days. And the dream was that our family was standing together. We were huddled together, and we were surrounded by thousands of people, and they were rotating around us like they were on a giant carousel. And she said, Dad, they were all skeletons. She said, I remember seeing their skeleton faces. She said, they had clothes on, but they were skeletons. And she said, I remember the sockets in their eyes. And she said, they were stretching out their arms towards you, and they were crying in a loud voice, if you knew this was going to happen, why didn't you tell us? And Dan, that's how this ministry started.
This is so powerful, and I just want to bring this point up, especially for our listeners. One of the things people don't realize about David in the Bible is that God actually says he had a perfect heart. And the word perfect is really, that's the word that I believe is tamim in Hebrew. And it speaks not to the fact that he was sinless, but that it was his desire to have God's desires. His heart was God's heart. And when he sinned, he repented.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
And that's all our Heavenly Father's looking for. He's just asking the American people to repent. Nothing more. Just repent. Well, one thing that he said to me at that time, Dan, he said, tell the American people that I have declared a sin amnesty. And I'm like, what is a sin amnesty? I've never heard of a sin amnesty. And you know, I'm having this conversation with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is speaking inside of my heart, and he's asking me questions. And he goes, well, tell, what is an amnesty? And I go, well, that's when the government says, if you turn yourself in voluntarily, confess what you did, we'll wipe the crimes off the book and grant you amnesty, and we'll act like it never happened. And he said, and what happens if you don't turn yourself in? I said, oh, if they catch you after the amnesty is over, they throw the book at you. It's really bad. And he goes, tell America, I have granted the nation a sin amnesty. All they have to do is confess the sins that they've committed against me. I will forgive them, and I will remove the sins, and I will act like it never happened. But if they ignore my offer of amnesty, then the punishment will be much greater.
That is,
and so here we are.
Message.
Here we are, Dan, 15 years later. And America has now legalized same-sex marriage. That idea 15 years ago was totally foreign. when this happened to me 15 years ago, the idea that America would legalize same-sex marriage, that was so foreign of an idea, so bizarre of an idea, and yet now it's normal. And the American people have no idea how deeply they have fallen into sin and rebellion.
It's pretty spectacular when you sit back and even leave for a while and then come back. I know I was out of the country for a while in Rwanda, and it's just a different world over there entirely. And when you come back and you're back here and surrounded by everything, it is amplified. When you're in it, it doesn't even seem like it's as bad. I kind of like how the Bible said when Lot was in Sodom, really his soul was vexed, but he didn't realize it. He kind of wanted to hang around.
I think he was on the city council.
Uh-huh.
I think he was on the city council. The Bible says he had a seat at the gate. I think he was on the city council. You know, he probably voted for city benefits for same-sex couples.
Oh, my.
I mean, he was probably a member of the religious right, Republican Party, you know. he was compromising and everything, you know. Well, let me ask you, when you came back from Africa, how long did it take until the sound of the Africans singing to Jesus, until that left your spirit?
Oh, how long did it take? I don't know if it left.
You can't shake it, can you?
It's
whenever
amazing,
you know. Yeah, when you hear African Christians singing, it's a joy that stays in your heart.
Amen. I will say this. I left the peace of my heart in Africa. And we are definitely going back because God is doing some powerful things. And really, America has no idea how powerfully God is moving in different areas of the world right now. So, let me ask you this. You had this vision 15 years ago, and you know, your daughter also was visited. And where do you see America right now? In respect to all of that.
On the edge of a cliff.
Wow.
And, well, I'll be honest. No, let me rephrase that. We've gone over the cliff.
Uh-huh.
We're in free fall right now. The next sound you're going to hear will be the splat.
Hmm.
I used to say we're on the edge of the cliff. That's not true anymore. We went over the cliff.
Huh.
We're in free fall. We're falling fast. We're in rapid descent, and because we're still floating through the air, the people don't know what's happened.
That's a very interesting
thing. There is a horrific crash coming, horrific judgment coming to this country.
Hmm. And I agree with you. And I guess this would be a good time to kind of segue into some of the possible elements of this crash, because... Well, you know, God, I believe, can empower his people, protect his people, and equip his people to overcome even in the midst of adversity surrounding them on every side, which is why we talk about some of these things. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about really is China. You know, when I was thinking, who did I like to talk about, China and some of the news coming out of there, what that means for the U.S., I say, you know, who better than Rick Wiles of True News to give us really the inside scoop? So if you're okay with transitioning now, unless
sure.
You have something else to add.
No, that's fine. And I'm certainly not an expert on China. All I can tell you is what I believe the Lord has revealed to me over these years,
uh-huh.
And that is that he will use foreign armies to chastise the USA. And it's a biblical principle. And, you know, people will say, wait a minute, the Chinese are wicked too. That's right. But they never had the gospel.
Hmm.
We had the gospel, and we have
we have renounced it. We have trashed it. We have told God to get out of the country. Okay, so we're much different. And so you can fully expect that this country's wealth is going to be turned over to foreigners. It's biblical. Read the book of Deuteronomy. When you turn against God, the curse is in Deuteronomy 28. Foreigners will own your land and your houses and your farms.
Wow. So, in respect to that...
It's happening right now. And look what's happening, Dan, in Russia. Russia is experiencing some type of Christian revival.
Hmm.
You have the Russian government has outlawed gay propaganda. You've got congressmen in the United States demanding that John Kerry, Secretary of State, get a promise from Russia that American gay athletes will not be arrested at the Olympic Games next year. I mean, Russia is going the opposite direction of the United States.
That's actually news to me because I have not yet become aware of what you just said.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Russia is going completely. The city of Moscow and St. Petersburg have passed laws banning gay pride parades for the next 100 years.
Wow. And this is from what used to be behind the Iron Curtain, really.
That's right.
A totally communist, anti-religious society. Not even one lifetime removed.
That's right. And about 2 weeks ago, Patriarch Kirill, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, he said in a Sunday morning sermon in Moscow in a cathedral, he said that America's embrace of homosexuality is a sign that the apocalypse is coming soon.
Really?
Absolutely. They're preaching end time. They're preaching end time gospel over in Russia, and we're going the route of Babylon.
So, now, let me ask you this. What do you see in as far as, because I really want to ask you this question about China's gold acquisition and what role that has in respect to, because this is big news for Americans, it's been like frontlining and so forth, how much gold China is buying up and acquiring. What do you think that means for us here in the West, considering the state, spiritual state that we're in?
Well, it's very easy. The world knows that the U.S. dollar is worthless. It's only backed by the U.S. military. There's nothing behind the dollar except the U.S. military. You mess with the military, they'll bomb you.
Mm.
All right, but there's nothing else behind the U.S. dollar. Russia, China, India, the BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, plus other Asian nations, are busily stockpiling gold and silver, massive amounts of gold and silver, because they know that the U.S. is overextended. The U.S. is so deep into debt, it cannot get out. We're printing trillions of dollars of funny money. There's no end to it. And the Federal Reserve is monetizing our debt because nobody else is buying U.S. Treasury bonds except the Central Bank of the United States. I mean, that's financial incest.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Treasury is selling their bonds to the Central Bank of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are insolvent as a nation.
Preach it.
And the rest of the world knows it. And they're getting ready for the big collapse.
So that's
where this is going.
The writing is really on the wall.
Christians have to be. This is the most monumental period of world change, maybe since the fall of the Roman Empire.
Hmm.
I mean, this is spectacular what is in motion right now. We're 2013, we start the historic war cycle. From 2013 to 2020, we will be at the peak possibility, probability of a major war, possible world war.
And what do you mean when you say, what do you mean? Because I know that actually before the show there was a couple of emails that were exchanged. And so why don't you go ahead and talk a little bit about cycles, because I know this is something that's been on your heart lately.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on it. It's just in the last couple of years, it's just something I've been trying to educate myself about cycles. And I'm discovering, you know, just like King Solomon said, there is a time and a season for everything.
Yeah.
And Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. What has been, what is now, has been in the past. It's all repeated. And so I'm discovering that there are business cycles and investment cycles. There are generational cycles. There are sociological cycles. There are solar cycles. There are climate cycles. There's all kinds of cycles. And they repeat at different intervals. There's a war cycle. And I had a guest today on the program, Larry Eldison, who's an expert on the war cycle. And he said that there are actually three cycles in the war cycle, an 8-year cycle, 17-year cycle, and a 51-year cycle. And he said this is the first time in centuries that all three of those war cycles are rolling over simultaneously.
Wow.
Okay, now this is what I'm seeing in other things, Dan. I'm hearing from economists, from meteorologists, from sociologists. I'm hearing the same thing. The cycles that they know about, they're all converging between 2015 and 2020. So this is spectacular. This is monumental. It's historic. Again, we perhaps Robert Prechter, who wrote the Elliott Wave book, he told me that there probably has not been anything like this since the fall of the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So
now let me ask you this, because years ago, probably, I believe it was 2009,
mm-hmm.
I was in prayer, and God began speaking to me about some radical things that I said, this is radical. This is really crazy. This is so crazy, I don't think I want to tell anybody about this. Because what you just said, God, is the words civil and war in the same sentence. And, you know, I have since, in watching a lot of things develop over the past 5 years or so, seen a lot of unrest brewing in this nation within the different sides of political issues and people versus government. And what are your thoughts? Mm-hmm. Do you see the possibility of civil war? And if so, what might that have to do with issues of gun control? That's a loaded question, so
sure.
I'll let you talk for a while.
I've been seeing civil unrest and war coming for years. When Obama was running for president and when he was elected in 2008, I said on my radio program, Barack Obama will be patterned after Abraham Lincoln. Do not expect the media to call him Franklin Roosevelt, they're going to call him Abraham Lincoln. And the reason is his assignment is to start a civil war.
Wow.
And I'm convinced of it. Barack Obama wants a civil war. Why? Because his assignment from his masters, the which I believe he works for the Illuminati, Obama is not the main character here. He's just a little freak that gets to sit in the big chair. But his assignment is to start a civil war. Why? To rip apart what remains of Christian America. So.
Wow. And do you think that the move towards gun control has any ties to this agenda?
Of course it does. Of course it does. They're setting the stage that the gun owners will be demonized. These are the people who are a threat to public safety. And, you know, I personally think, a lot of these mass shootings are
you can say it on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
Well, yeah, I know. I think that they are Illuminati orchestrated events using mind control, using, voice to skull transmission. I mean, a lot of these shooters talk about hearing voices in their head. Well, yeah, I guess so. They're under voice to skull transmissions from their masters. This is they're setting the stage for tyranny in this country. And the American people so far have not bitten on their bait. I mean, I really think they're trying to provoke us to throw the first punch. That's why the TSA is molesting people every day in the airports. They're trying to insult you. They're trying to make you mad. So far, it hasn't worked. So they'll step it up. I think this terror alert right now is totally phony. They're being caught at spying on us.
Mm-hmm.
Benghazi, the truth. I mean, I was telling my audience last September the truth about Benghazi, that the reason Obama lied about Benghazi, about the stupid video on YouTube, was that he was running guns and ammo to Al-Qaeda fighting in Syria. Okay, well, then this is now on CNN. Hey, think about how insane it has become. In one breath, the media is admitting that Obama is funding Al-Qaeda. And then in the next breath, they tell us Al-Qaeda is going to kill us. Well, I guess so. We're arming them.
It really requires pretty complete dissociation from reality to believe
yes.
this kind of nonsense.
Yes, and that's what they're masters of. These people are masters of mind control. They are doing the most extreme, bizarre things because the human mind cannot fathom that anything would be done that way.
Yes, I believe the term I was looking for is cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
And speaking about the voice to skull thing that you mentioned, you know, I looked into a couple of these mass shootings. And this is one of the hardest things to try to explain to people that, there are a lot of people out there. Now, as a matter of fact, I was in prayer the other day, and I don't know if I'm saying it on the live radio now. God said, literally, you could go from city to city and fill stadiums with the number of people in cities. And, you know, I'm just saying it, that have been subjected to some form of trauma-based mind control. And
yes.
oftentimes, these people will have, their brains mapped, if, for lack of better terms. And the way the brain works is that it's kind of like a cell phone. It has a unique signature. And through biophysics, you can use science to literally hack a person's brain and put thoughts and messages into a person like you dial a cell phone. This is actually science. As a matter of fact, there's a guy
That's
out there
right.
named Dr. Nick Begich that wrote a great book
oh, yeah.
on
oh,
this
yeah,
subject.
Sure.
That explains
oh yeah, science. Yeah, yeah. It's
so to say
fact,
that these shootings are staged.
Yeah, I interviewed him many, many moons ago.
Uh-huh.
So, right now in Great Britain, no, not Great Britain, in Germany, the trains now have voice to skull advertisement in the windows of the trains.
Really?
When you fall asleep or you rest your little head on the window of the train, the window speaks to your skull.
Amazing.
Okay. Yeah, this is in the news now and nobody thinks it's weird.
Wow, Rick, it's just incredible. There's so much. Here's what I want to ask you, because
right.
we're almost out of time here, and I really want to get the most of it. But what I really want to give you the opportunity to do now, because there's a lot going on at True News, I want you to tell our listeners what is coming for the ministry.
Well, we are transitioning, and I've had this vision in my heart for a long, long time, and waiting on the Lord to release it. And we're at that place where He's giving me the green light to proceed. But we're building out an IPTV system, Internet Protocol Television System, and the vision is to create a multi-channel internet platform for audio and video programming that will go worldwide in multiple languages. Because I believe that my final assignment in my life is to nourish and strengthen the Church of God worldwide, not just USA, but worldwide. And I'm talking about the remnant Christians who are awake. I'm not talking about churchianity people. I'm talking about the Christians who are wide awake, and they know that we're in the last days. They know that bizarre stuff is happening, and they are waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. And I believe that our assignment is to speak to them and to give them spiritual nourishment, just like a hospital feeding tube into them, because it's going to get so weird and so dark and so perverted in this world that even the strongest Christians are going to have a hard time keeping their heads straight. That's why Jesus said in the last days, if it were possible, even the elect of God would be deceived.
Yep.
And we're seeing it right now, Dan. It's getting bizarre. It's getting weird. And what do you think is going to be like 10, 15 years from now? I mean, we don't know when the Lord is coming back. I wish He'd come back tonight. But He may not come back for 25, 50, 75 years. I mean, we're going into a world of robots and artificial intelligence and singularity and cyborgs. And I mean, they served a fake hamburger yesterday, in London, made out of stem cells. I mean, this is weird. And so the church has got to be kept spiritually awake, and I believe this is my assignment for the rest of my life, is to build a media platform that will produce and distribute spiritual food for the body of Christ, not just news. And we're going to branch far beyond just news. It's going to touch all facets of life, because we have to withdraw from Babylon. You have to come out of Babylon. You got to bring your soul, your heart, your mind, your finances, your children. You got to bring everything out of Babylon, because the Babylonian system is rising up, and it's taking shape. And God says, come out of her, my people. And so our message right now is to the church, is come out of Babylon. You know, there are three angels in the book of Revelation that have this awesome ministry in the last days, and we are witnessing this right now. One angel is circling the earth, crying out, worship God the Creator. Fear God, worship Him as the Creator. The second angel is shouting, Babylon has fallen, has fallen. And the third angel is saying, do not receive the mark of the beast. And that's happening right now. And any Christian that says, raises their hand and says, God, give me some work to do in one of those three jobs, I guarantee you will be put to work immediately. You will be crying out, worship God, the Creator, or you will be shouting, Babylon has fallen, or you're going to be telling people, do not receive the mark of the beast. Because that is what's happening right now on the planet. I mean, as far as God's concerned, that's the message that's going out. It's not Joe Osteen. It's not live your best life now stuff. It's fear God, the Creator. Babylon has fallen. Do not receive the mark of the beast. And there's only a handful of people preaching it.
It's a hard message, Rick.
But it's biblical.
What's so hard about reading the Bible? What's so hard about preaching what's in the on the scriptures? That's our job. That is our assignment, to preach what's in the scriptures.
Yes.
We, you know, the church ought to be excited about this. We ought to be shouting these things. I mean, when I got saved, you know, centuries ago, I mean, this is what we heard. You know, it was common to hear sermons about the coming of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It was common to hear warnings about the falling away, the apostasy that's coming, about the mark of the beast. Now, here we are now in 2013, and people have fallen away. And the mark of the beast is here. And Babylon is here. And few people are daring to speak it.
Rick, I thank God that you are speaking it. And
well, I don't have anything else to do with my life, Dan. This is it.
And you know, one of the things, this is a key thing. Rick, you know your purpose. And I really appreciate about that about you and your ministry. You define clearly, and you know clearly what God is calling you to do. And you're doing it. And you're doing it wholeheartedly. And
you do it every day. And if you just do it every day, He'll bless you.
Praise God. Folks, you've been listening to Rick Wiles on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Their website, www.truenews.com. At his website, you can access everything. All the radio programs, they have it broken down by month, by guest topic. They also have all the information about everything he just described to you on my program regarding the coming expansion and everything that they want to do. Folks, if you have not already been to Rick Wiles' website, truenews.com, checked it out, looked at their resources, read what they have, I encourage you to do it. It is a great resource. You've heard this man. He is appointed by God to do what he is doing. I firmly believe that, and I believe the testimony speaks for itself. Check it out. When you get over there, if God puts it on your heart, I encourage you to support them in what they are trying to do and doing. Rick, unfortunately, I would love to keep you on for a whole other hour because there's so much we could talk about.
I wish I could. I have to start my second shift. We do our news research at night, and I've got an employee standing by waiting on me to work with him on everything that's going to go on our website tonight. We update it around midnight, and so. I've got to go do my my second shift. I call it making the donuts. I got to go make the donuts, you know. And so I got to go spend a couple hours on it. But and also, hey, listen, you know, I know you're in Blog Talk, and we're on Blog Talk also. So if they just search us in the Blog Talk Radio search engine, they will find True News. But it's True without an E, T-R-U-N-E-W-S. It's been a pleasure. Enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you so much for your time, Rick. God bless you, and
bye-bye. All right. Take care.
Well, folks, that was Rick Wiles from True News, who came over to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall to have a conversation with us about a number of topics, relevant issues. Man, was that an exciting conversation or what? This is one of the things that I really appreciate about Rick, is that he knows his purpose, and this is really where we're going to be transitioning for the rest of the program, is on the subject of purpose. Because here's the thing, if we do not know our purpose, it is difficult for us to be effective. It's because the thing is, God, He uses us according to our purpose. If, as for instance, let's say God is the inventor of the hammer. We're going to keep it simple. You don't use a hammer to dig a ditch. You use a shovel to dig a ditch. But a hammer is created very specifically to pound in nails, right, and to tear out nails, to put together things with pounding, not digging holes. And the thing about purpose is that purpose defines the kind of tool in the hand of God that you were created to be. And a lot of people, they get it wrong because they think that because they've seen shovels or they were told by somebody who didn't know what they were talking about that they are a shovel when really they're a hammer. They go around trying to use their life to dig holes and ditches where really they are a hammer. And so every time they try to dig a hole or a ditch or whatever, it's ineffective. They actually work really hard and get very little accomplished. Many Christians work very hard to get very little accomplished because they don't understand their purpose. And in order to understand your purpose, go to the inventor and ask. That's the thing. And that's where we're going to be transitioning for the rest of the program, because we're going to be having on a guest who is the founder and president of Promoting Purpose magazine. And so we're going to be calling her in a minute, but understand that you need to understand your purpose in order to really live the kind of effective life you are intended to live. And a lot of people, I believe, are very frustrated with their lives, frustrated with their Christianity, frustrated with their experience, because they're a hammer trying to dig a ditch, and it just doesn't make sense to them. No one ever took the time to tell them, hey, why don't you ask the inventor what you are? Because when you ask and you realize you're a hammer and he sets you to pounding in nails, suddenly you will be so effective and you will walk into the purpose for which you were designed, and it's going to be easy. There's going to be grace. There's going to be expansion. From a baby, literally from the ground up, Rick has built an internationally recognized news source called True News, and he did it because he had the grace of God with him to do it. And now we are being blessed. Other people are being blessed. People around the globe are being blessed. Just imagine if every Christian in this earth suddenly got on board with the purpose for which they were created. How much more effective would we be as the body of Christ? How much more effective or effectively would God be able to touch this world? So anyway, right now we are calling our next guest.
Hello.
Cheryl, welcome to Discovering the Truth with Dan DeVolve. So happy to have you. How are you feeling tonight?
I am feeling well, and thank you so much for having me on your awesome show. I've been listening, and I am so proud of you, and this is definitely purpose.
Praise God. Cheryl, thank you so much for taking the time to come on, and I'm really excited to have you because we've actually been working together for some time. For those of you that listen to this program that don't know, I am a contributing writer for Promoting Purpose magazine. So after you get the information on how to get it, be sure to check it out. If I can point you to my articles, please take some time to read those. I promise you they will touch your life. Many more articles by other anointed writers in that magazine. But, Cheryl, let's get to know you a little bit. You're young. You're following God. You've founded a magazine. Now, what were you doing prior to launching the magazine, and how were you inspired to launch it?
Well, what I was doing when I actually founded the magazine, I was initially in the military from the U.S. Army, and I got out of the military because it was taking me away from my daughter. You know, both my husband and I were both in the military, and they wanted to deploy us at the same time. I'm away from my family. And so we thought it would be a good idea for me as a mother to just, you know, get out and stay home with my daughter. And so then the Lord had laid upon my heart to start writing books. And so I started writing books. And one particular day at church that I was going to, the pastor started speaking on purpose. And prior to that, one of the gifts that God has given me is the prophetic, whereas there are things in my spirit that he will allow me to speak into existence. And it will come to pass. And so prior to that, I kept saying, Lord, by 26, I would like to have my own business. And so of course, with us as humans, we sometimes pick what we want versus allowing God to just give it to us. And so my thought was to have a cafe because I love to bake. But I knew that I needed a building for it. And so when I was almost 26, I left my watch. I said, okay, Lord, I'll be 26 years old in the next 4 weeks. I don't have a building for the cafe I want. And I know every time you have me speaking prophetically over my life, it happens. And so just in July, because my birthday is in September, by the middle of July, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you've so much more. I know your purpose. And he said, I want you to start a magazine. And I started laughing because I was at my mom's house during that time, summertime, my husband was deployed. And I laughed because I'm like, Lord, this is not a cafe. I don't know anything about a magazine. So I kept saying, well, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, send me confirmation. And, of course, when you hear something like that, that you have no idea, you're thinking, huh, maybe this is just myself talking or telling me this. And so it took several pulls and unctioning from the Spirit to actually say, okay, I'm going to do this. And I got a little bit sarcastic. I'm a very transparent person. So I got a little sarcastic with the Lord because I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to start a magazine, then what's the title of the magazine? Because I have, you know, no idea of what the title will be or what you even want me to do with the magazine. And he spoke to me and he said, purpose. And again, as humans, we tend to jump straight to just that one thing versus just sitting there and listening to everything out there. And so I went online and I checked out and I typed the word purpose. And I said, it's not God because there's already a magazine out there that says purpose. And then the Spirit said, no, you're promoting purpose. You're promoting what I give people. You're promoting men and women of God that's working in the kingdom on all levels, i.e. whether that's a missionary, whether someone's purpose is to empower, encourage, whether someone purposes like yourself or your last guest that's warning people, that's what the magazine is for, to present those that are doing that to prepare people for the coming of God. And so that's how the title came out, Promoting Purpose Magazine. And so I pretty much was just at home at the time. Pretty much, you can say, taking care of my kids, staying at home at the time when it first started. And that's what I've been doing since then with the magazine. And that was 3 years ago.
That's a powerful story, Cheryl. And, you know, really what I hear is God's authorship on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things the Bible says is that God is the author and finisher of our faith.
Right.
Now, as you have gone through doing the magazine, I mean, there have to have been some obstacles that you've encountered, even though God told you to do it. Why don't you spend some time telling us about some of the hurdles you've encountered and how you've overcome those to continue doing what God has called you to do?
Well, one thing we must understand is that God, when he gave us something, he doesn't sit there and let us do it alone. One, he's with us. And two, most likely he's going to send other people to help enhance and help you maintain that foundation, because as humans, we tend to get off sidetrack depending on who we are and how we are spiritually. And so he will send people with you to help you with your mission. And the connection may not be perhaps the same ministry, but different ministry as I with me and you. You know, my job with the magazine, I'm more of an encourager. I'm more of the one that will encourage you and say, hey, you know, stay strong, but you are more the one saying, hey, get it together. The timing is almost at the end. We don't have time to play games. And, of course, Rachel, who's the advisor, she's more of, you need to get this scripture together and know that God's on his way and stand firm. So God sent people like yourself to the publication, and they have been obstacles because, of course, the enemy is going to fight you when you're doing something for God. He's going to send obstacles, any kind of obstacles on a personal level, a spiritual level, or even if it's dealing so much with business, he's going to send that, well, if you go this route, you can get to what you want faster. And so I had those kind of obstacles where I want the magazine to get out faster, so there were certain avenues that I took that pretty much had me going around in circles. And it's so funny that you asked that question, because the Lord had this place in my spirit. He said, you know, people, there are different ideas. There's the God idea, which is what God gives you, what he is placing your spirit to do, the course. And there's the good idea, that your flesh will say, hey, this is a good idea, take this route, and it can take you to the God idea faster, but that's not the case. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the obstacle for me came in at, was the good idea and the God idea. And yes, I took in that good idea because it just looked so good at the time, like, okay, this looks good. But I thank God for the people he have within the magazine that kept me grounded. It was like, hey, Sherelle, what's going on? You know, what's going on with the magazine? What was the foundation of the magazine? What did you tell us when you first started the magazine? And so he placed people. And then people, like I said, with like you as well, that had patience. And you stood firm to what your writing was as well, that actually helped with the magazine. So definitely a lot of good ideas going within, which was the obstacle versus the God idea. But nevertheless, got back on track, and here we are.
So what you're telling me is that people can get good ideas that don't necessarily line up with the wisdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the wisdom of God can even seem backwards or illogical.
Right. Exactly. And it was something that I told someone that works with me. I said, you know, it was funny because when God gives you something, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Like with Promoting Purpose Magazine, what God may tell me to do or instruct me to do with Promoting Purpose Magazine, it may not work on a physical aspect because now you're talking about something spiritual. And so what someone might do for a physical magazine to get a magazine out there, if Promoting Purpose tries it, it may not work because God instructed me to do this magazine for it. So there's a spiritual purpose for it versus a physical entertainment. And so, therefore, there's a lot of things that I have done that did not make sense, but God gave it to me, and it worked, and it touched people's lives.
Wow. Now, you don't just do the magazine because now you're also launching, or I guess you could say even relaunching, a radio segment to go along with the vision for the magazine. Why don't you spend a little bit of time telling us about that?
Okay, yes. The show is called Promoting Purpose Radio, and again, that's the show that's promoting different purposes, allowing different people, authors, ministers, those who have testimonies to come on and share, you know, what God has done for them or the gift that God has given us to use. We have actually had that on the show to help and make people aware of the different spiritual tools that are out there, because there are so many tools out there that we don't even know is out there, and some of the ministries I have just became acquainted with, I've never thought even exist. Like, for instance, I met a young lady. She has a ministry for those who have miscarriages, females that have miscarriage or stillbirth, or they just lost a child, you know, to natural cause. She has a ministry for that. And there are a lot of women out there who are, they have not fulfilled their purpose, or they're stuck in a shell because of that particular situation. So to have God have a ministry like that, you know, that's powerful. And there's ministry for those who just got off drugs. They're having drug issues. There's a ministry for prostitution. And so that's what we are. We are a wheel to deliver that to the people, to let them know whatever you go through, whatever going on in your life, there is a ministry. God has a tool for that. And that's what the radio does as well, present that in a more audio way for those who prefer listening to it versus reading it.
Now, are you planning to integrate the radio program into the digital copy of the magazine?
Yes. Yes, that is something we are working on because we understand that people learn and they accept things differently. So we're trying to ensure that there's no reason for someone not to be able to either get empowered or encouraged or even warned about the coming of God. There's no excuse for not being able to receive those things.
And now, this is really cool because you're doing something unique wherein you don't just offer a magazine hard copy that people can order, but you also offer a digital version of the magazine. And folks, to check out the magazine and Promoting Purpose magazine, visit www.promotingpurpose.com. Again, that's www.promotingpurpose.com. We'll throw that out there again in a little bit. But why don't you tell us some of the unique elements of what you're doing with the digital magazine?
Well, the digital magazine is actually awesome because, as we know, the era has changed. At one time, everyone loved have the physical copy. Now everyone is more computer savvy, where they want to actually just go online and read something real quick. But what we do with Promoting Purpose Magazine, we actually have the digital magazine available free of charge. And the reason why that is because for our company and what we're doing, to charge someone to be inspired, encouraged, and empowered when it's not coming out of our pockets to actually do a digital, to me, sounds silly. And so, therefore, we're actually allowing people to actually subscribe to the magazine free of charge for the digital, where they can actually see everything. They can see the spiritual tools. They can be encouraged, empowered. The only thing right now, as far as the printed, we do have to charge for that because that's a printing fee, but our mission is to actually get that to be free as well, to where you're only just paying for shipping. And so those are things that we're working on, but the online is absolutely free. You can go on, put in your email, and you actually get a year subscription. It goes straight to your email address. You get to see the advertisements in there. You get to see the unique articles in there that you can be ministered to with that particular thing. So a lot of things we're doing digital because that's where it seems that society is going right now.
So, folks, after you listen to this, it doesn't cost you anything. Visit www.promotingpurpose.com, submit your email, get the free digital copy of the magazine. And you know what? Go ahead and sign up for the hard copy as well, if that is something that you think will be beneficial not only to you but to others. You can, with the magazine, a hard copy, you can pass it around, leave it on a nice table in your house. Others can read it. It's a good thing. But really, if you don't have any money, a free digital magazine, what is there to lose, folks? I really want to encourage you, www.promotingpurpose.com. Now, Sherelle, you're not only the head of this magazine, but you also have written a book called Purposeful Living. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the project, because I realize you are a co-author of this book, and tell us about some of what readers can get out of the book when they read it.
Okay. Well, again, Purposeful Living, Restoring Your Faith is a book that's authored by myself and two other authors, Dr. Anicia Mathis and Rachel Moore. And what we have done is we realized that not everyone read magazines. They don't pick up a magazine, or they're not interested in magazines, but they prefer reading a book. And so what we do each year, we grab one of the most inspiring, powerful articles out of the magazine for the whole year, and we compile it into a book. So, yeah, therefore, again, there's no excuse, because you're able to still receive what the magazine has, but in a book format. Last year we had Purposeful Living, Restoring Your Faith. This year we have one coming out called Sounding the Alarm, which is a strictly warning book that's talking about the ending, God coming near. And so this is something that we're doing every year with the publication. We're going to release a book that has some of the most powerful articles of the year that has touched, ministered, and empowered people. And that can actually be seen on Lulu.com, where you can actually get a copy of that particular book. And, again, it has some awesome articles in there from all three of the authors from in that book, testimonies, articles on how to be inspired, how to be encouraged, how to be a better man, woman. Those things are in there to help us. Pretty much our lifestyle as Christians, you'll find in Purposeful Living, Restoring Your Faith.
Sherelle, what does purpose mean to you?
Purpose to me means what God has designed us for. And notice I say design and not call, because I've learned that people sometimes have mistaken purpose with their calling. Mm-hmm. And I've seen those to be two different things, because a calling, that's your ministry. You know, that's the tool that God has given you. A calling can be an evangelist or whatever the case may be. Just like with Jesus, his calling, he was a prophet and he ministered. But his purpose was to die on the cross. And so it's two different things. And so for people not to get that mixed up, purpose is what you have been designed to do, and that's pretty much mostly the ending, but the completion of what God has placed you here for. And so to me, that's what purpose is, what you've been created to do ultimately in this lifetime.
Good word. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners while you're with us?
I just want to encourage the listeners and definitely let them know that Promoting Purpose Magazine, if they have a ministry out there that they know is going to benefit anyone, if they have a testimony out there, it's going to benefit anyone. Definitely contact us for a possible feature. And we are always open, and sometimes people, they're kind of scared to share their ministry because they feel like, well, there's no other ministry out there like what I have. So they're kind of afraid because they're afraid they're going to be rejected. But our goal is to actually get those type of ministry that no one has heard of before to make aware that, hey, this may be this particular, this is a ministry. No matter what you're going through, this is a ministry. So no matter how small you feel like your ministry is, or even if you think it's outside of the box, we're definitely there willing to listen to and hear, especially if it's going to empower people and encourage people and help them out. So definitely check us out at www.promotingpurpose.com. We love seeing what people are doing in the kingdom, which that's a whole other conversation by itself, the kingdom. I can definitely go on and on about that. I can definitely go on about purpose and just seek your purpose. And I always tell people, before you can actually truly, truly find your purpose, you need to know your calling first. Because if someone comes to you and say, hey, yeah, your mission is to go over to another country and do this, well, you can't do that until you know what your calling is that's going to take you over there. And so it's very important for people to find their purpose, and once they find it, to never compromise. Never compromise what God's given you. We've been doing that a lot lately. We're compromising because we're thinking, well, people are not ready for this, or they're not ready to hear that. But the thing is, when God has given it to you, that's your purpose. You know, you must do it and carry it out. And so I just encourage people to continue to seek their purpose. Don't compromise. Carry it out. And again, visit us at www.promotingpurpose.com.
Cheryl, thank you so much for taking some time to spend with us, to talk with us. And, you know, I really appreciate you and everything that you're doing with the magazine, especially the fact that you're still in your 20s, but you're talking the way you are, and you're doing what you're doing. Folks, especially those of you that are young out there, just because you're under the age of 30 doesn't mean you can't do something significant. All you need is a word from God and the audacity to obey. I hate to admit it, but even me, I am not 30. And so, folks, let's be encouraged here. God can use you where you are at, and he can use you for something great. Cheryl, thank you for modeling that for us, for being with us. And, folks, be sure, www.promotingpurpose.com. Check it out. Visit it, read the articles, and be empowered. Cheryl, you have a wonderful evening.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on, Daniel.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Folks, that was Cheryl Valdez-Loki, CEO and founder of Promoting Purpose magazine, co-author of Purposeful Living, available at lulu.com. And also available as a motivational speaker. If you're listening and you say, we need some motivational speakers that are female and young, please reach out to her. Now, with the remaining time we have left on the program, we will be diving further into the idea of purpose. I am all out of guests, and so we're just going to have some one-on-one time. But you know what? One of the things I love about having my own radio program is that I get to talk, and I get to talk really as much as I want. But, you know, the nice thing is when God gives me a message or something to say, it's not like I have to look for an avenue to preach it. I can just tell you. And it's great because today I want to tell you something really exciting about purpose. And I believe that what we're going to talk about for the rest of this program is going to put a fire on the inside of some people. You need to hear what I'm about to tell you. You need this for your life. Because, see, some of you listening, you're in different places of life. Some of you, you know, you may be going through a divorce. You may be trying to figure out what you're going to do with your job. Kids might be in rebellion. You might be in kind of all kinds of places, all these things, you know, but you love to be up front on the news, or you want to know the latest and greatest as far as developments on the spirit world, or, you know, what have you. So my program, really, a lot of our archives are a great source for these kinds of things. But really, what I want for you is for you to be effective where you're at. I actually want you to be powerful. I want you to be equipped. I want these things for my listeners. I don't just want to give you information and then, well, you're like, yeah, now I'm full of information. Let me just tell somebody. Like, but you're not being effective. You know, every time you tell somebody something, they just like bouncing off walls. You're not getting anywhere with what you're trying to do. And you're saying, well, you know, I'm just being faithful. And well, what are you being faithful to? I want to talk about purpose because I want you to be effective. And I know that when you understand your purpose, effectiveness will follow you everywhere you go because you won't go anywhere you're not supposed to be. So, one, we need to understand that we have a purpose in Christ. In other words, God is the inventor. God invented you, and he crafted you according to his infinite wisdom to fulfill something specific. And he wants to use you for that purpose. And if he's not able to use you for that purpose because you keep rejecting it, ignoring it, and running from it, you cannot be effective the way you were intended to be. So one, you need to understand that you have a purpose in Christ. Two, when you understand you have one, then you need to get it. In other words, you need to be able to clarify and define it. Now, let me give you an example. In my life, I have a vision statement. My vision statement for me is the same as it is for my ministry because guess what? I am the ministry that God has made me to be. My vision is to promote unity in the body of Christ and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Here's the thing. Everything that I do is really going to put me in in that direction. If it's not taking me towards those goals, I have no business doing it. And this is how God helps us to set up and create what I call healthy boundaries in our lives. Because once we understand that we have a purpose, because you do. I don't care what anybody told you. I don't care if you spent your whole life hearing somebody tell you you're worthless and you have no purpose. You have a purpose. Let the truth reign in your life. You have a purpose. Two, you need to understand that God knows your purpose. And so if you're going to walk in your purpose, not by accident, really, you can seek him and receive it. All you have to do is ask. The Bible says, ask. Seek and it will be answered. Ask and it will. I'm butchering this. Give me a second. Ask and it shall be answered. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. Ask him. Then use that truth, that purpose, to center your life on something that's going to create value in this world. Around that, you have to put boundaries to protect it. Because here's the thing. If you don't protect your purpose, you will be used for alternative purposes anyway. Think about the world like a bunch of babies, okay? You put a bunch of babies in a room, and then you put in the center of the room a beautiful porcelain vase. Now, if there is no protection around that beautiful porcelain vase in the center of that room, eventually those crazy kids are going to play with it and they're going to break it. And I'm telling you today that if you're listening to me, it's probably for a reason. And maybe you're that vase that's been in the center of that room and you've been walking through life getting played with by little kids, getting broken, losing your purpose, losing track. You can't even recognize it anymore because you didn't protect it with boundaries. In other words, if you put it behind a metal cage, then suddenly all those crazy kids, they can't get to your purpose to break it, to use it for the wrong thing. You know, they use that vase to play basketball. They'll use that vase to roll it around that room. They all kinds of craziness. What it really needs to be is a decorative item that holds flowers, right? That's what a vase is for. Or you can fill it with maybe some water or juice or something. What I'm saying is, if you don't protect your purpose, somebody is going to come in, take your life, take what you have, time, energy, ability, talent, and apply it to something that does not suit you. And it will be waste for you. And here's the thing. Protecting your purpose is actually the Christian thing to do. One of the biggest things we have to protect when we protect our purpose is to protect our time. Because here's the deal. Here's the deal. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me when I tell you this. Time is one of your most important assets. When you spend time, it's an investment. It's not just an allocation of something you have a lot of, which is just superfluous. See, time is a limited commodity on this earth. Yes, God can supersede natural laws and accelerate things so he can do the work of 1,000 years in a day. But guess what? A day still passes. The thing is, your time on earth is limited. There was a day when you were born. There will be a day when you die. And in between that, you have a limited number of seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, years to live. That's it. When it's over, it's gone. So every moment that you have is not just to be looked at as something to be discarded. Time is an investment. And if you don't know your purpose, or know your purpose but don't put boundaries around your purpose, your time will be invested into bad portfolios. And you know what happens with bad portfolios? They lose. They cause loss. If you suffered from the 2008 market crash, maybe you were invested in several stocks and so forth, and then you lost all your money, or you lost some of your pension and so forth, you know the power of a bad investment, a bad portfolio. So see, I want you to look at your time. I want you to look at your purpose. I want you to look at your reason for existence as an investment, as something that needs protection. It needs a definition. It needs protection. And it needs to be properly applied. You see, God wants to do great things in this world, right? And he wants to do it with you, okay? I don't care what anybody says. He wants you. He wants to use you. Let me say that again, because I don't think you are listening to me. He wants to use you, not just Daniel Duvall, not just Rick Wild, not just Sherelle Valdez-Loki or any of the other wonderful guests I've had on my program over the past year. He wants to use you because you know what? The more people God can use according to their purpose, the more powerful his army on this earth becomes, the more influential his body becomes. If you've listened to this program long enough, you know that I believe in coming sheep nations. In other words, entire geographies that come under heavy influence of the kingdom of God. How does that happen? It happens with you. It happens when a company of people rise up and say, you know what? We know our purpose. And your purpose may be something you didn't even know was available for purpose. I mean, you know, maybe you're called to pray against agendas going on in underground bases. And that's why you have to listen to certain radio programs to know, well, there are underground bases. Or there are things going on in the heavenly realms with human agents that are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, working for the devil and other issues. I mean, you know, you may be called to minister deliverance to victims of a mind control. Well, you can't do that until you know that mind control exists. This is why God needs to give you information. But here's the thing. When everything's said and done, you have to define your purpose, protect your purpose, and then apply yourself to your purpose. Here's the deal. Jesus knew his purpose. Jesus knew it. Jesus protected his purpose. And I'm going to show you this. I want to prove this to you because this is the problem. This is the problem. I find Christians, and they think this. They have this twisted thinking that if they just spend all their time trying to help people and serve their church or whatever have you in any capacity whatsoever, no questions asked, spend all their energy working at a job, you know, they think they're being faithful. And of course, we should be faithful to our jobs, folks. But here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, first define your purpose. Is God calling you to invest all that time into all these people that are leeching off of your spirit? Did he call you? Did he tell you to do that? Did he tell you to give them hours of your night so you don't have time to sleep? It's affecting your relationship with your family. Did he tell you to invest all those hours helping a certain church or ministry in a way that isn't even in line with your gifting? Things are going nowhere. Hours of your life are going to this investment, and there's no fruit coming out of it. I mean, the question is not, should you be doing it because it's a good thing to do? The question is, should you be doing it because it's in line with the purpose that God has for your life? See, and as Christians, people think, well, if I just never say no to anybody that needs help, I'm being a good Christian. That's not true. That is just frankly not true. That is not true. Because there are leeches. Folks, I hate to admit it, but there are people that they're not ready for your ministry. God needs to break them in order for them to receive. And if we do not know how to discern our purpose, or the purpose for a time, or the purpose of our lives in a certain season and so forth, we can get sucked into all kinds of relationships that we shouldn't be involved in, volunteer experiences that we shouldn't be involved in, different things, jobs that we shouldn't have taken in the first place, different things that leech our energy, our time, and our resources and produce nothing. Nothing, because God didn't have us to do it. We didn't seek God. We didn't understand our purpose. We didn't protect our purpose. Instead, we're just that broken vase in a room full of children going crazy, smashing stuff. They're smashing you. This is what I want you to understand. I want you to be effective. But in order to be effective, you have to know your purpose. You have to protect your purpose. And you have to apply yourself to your purpose. Okay? And so this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Jesus knew his purpose. And he put up boundaries so that nobody could take his purpose away from him. No one could invest his time and his energy into anything except his Father's business. And I say that this should be true of you and me, that we understand our purpose so clearly that it becomes impossible for others to come and invest our lives into things that we have no business being invested into. That this is how Satan renders the church impotent. Because he's applying people to the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong place. And if that's you, you need to seek God and repent. I'm serious. Repent. Repent means to change your thinking. Change your thinking. And do things God's way. If you do things God's way, you will become effective. You will become a world shaker. You can take something from nothing and transform it into an international impact. Look at Rick Wiles. That's what he's doing. Why? Because he knew his purpose. He defined his purpose. He protected his purpose. And he applied himself to his purpose. And now look. Look at the fruit of this ministry. This is what I'm saying, folks. Jesus knew his purpose. The Spirit, and I'm going to read to you from the book of Isaiah. This is the same passage that Jesus quoted when he read from the Torah he read from the prophets in the temple. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of his favor." And he stopped there, but when Jesus comes back, it'll continue. "And the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion," and on and on and on. But before Jesus comes the second time, when he came as the suffering servant, the suffering Messiah, he knew his purpose. It's right there. It was in the Word of God. He knew it. He defined it. And there was nothing anybody could do to change that. okay? But here's what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you why being like Jesus means that you protect and set up boundaries in your life, healthy boundaries, so that your purpose isn't wasted, broken, taken advantage of, applied to the wrong thing, rendered impotent. Here's when the purpose of Jesus was tested. One of the times. I'm gonna give it to you. One of the times Jesus' purpose was tested. Jesus is talking to his disciples, having a conversation. He says, so on and so forth. You know, who am I? Peter says, you're the Messiah. And Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. This comes out of Matthew chapter 16. And then he goes on and he says to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, this is amplified, so declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. In other words, Christians can bind and loose according to the desire and the plan and purposes of God in heaven. We are called to bring earth into alignment with heaven. I don't care what's going on in the world at any time, in any place, or to anybody. This doesn't change. Christians have authority to bind and to loose and to bring earth into alignment with heaven. Folks, this is where you begin to understand some of the purposes that God has put in bringing his kingdom to men, to put earth in contact with the realms, the regions, the blessings, the benefits, the prosperity, the incredible assets of heaven itself, and that we can take what is in this world and bind and loose according to the realities that are present in perfection. Folks, this is what Jesus is saying. But let me not get distracted here. We're not talking about kingdom today. What we're talking about is purpose. Jesus goes on, verse 20. Then he sternly and strictly charged and warned the disciples to tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Okay? From that time forth, Jesus began clearly to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the high priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised from death. Then, okay, watch this. This is amazing. Look at this. Then Peter took him aside to speak to him privately and began to reprove him and charge him sharply, saying, God forbid, Lord, this must never happen to you. Can you imagine? Peter rebuking Jesus. I can't wrap my mind around this entirely because you have to have a lot of nerve to rebuke Jesus. But, you know, there's actually a lot of people that have tried. Why? God comes to you. He says, listen, I want to use you to shake a nation. You say, that can't be God. God didn't talk. That no way God did. Let me tell you something. Yes, he did. And the thing was, Jesus just got done speaking. Yes, that was Jesus speaking. He said, I must die. Jesus knew his purpose because if he didn't die, how then would he fulfill his declaration? To preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek and poor and afflicted, to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the spiritual and physical captives and the opening of the prison and of the eyes of to those who are bound. You see, Jesus didn't just do this when he was here on earth. He continued to do it when he ascended on high and released his church, which he calls his body, his hands and feet, into the earth. In other words, in order for Jesus to put his power in his body to fulfill the Great Commission, to fulfill this ministry which he started when he was here, but he continued for the past 2,000 years, he had to die, and he knew that was his purpose. And there had nobody that was going to take him away from his Father's business. So Jesus had to set up boundaries. Healthy boundaries preserve purpose. What does this mean? Peter got done giving Jesus an out, what he thought was good advice. He's like, hey, Jesus, you can't do this. Stop talking nonsense. Why don't you just stay here with us and keep preaching and working miracles throughout the whole world? It's a great idea. It's a good idea. But as Sherelle told us earlier, there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. Was it a good idea to keep Jesus alive as long as possible? Yeah, it was a good idea. Why? Everywhere he went, people got healed, demons got driven. Now, that's a good thing. But it wasn't the God idea, because the God idea was greater. There was a greater scope, a greater purpose, a greater reason. And only through death would these things be accomplished. So Jesus comes back at Peter. Jesus actually turns his back to Peter. He turns in a different direction. He doesn't even speak to Peter face to face. He turns his back. And the Bible says in verse 23, Amplified Version, but Jesus turned away from Peter and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You are in my way, an offense and a hindrance and a snare to me, for you are minding what partakes not of the nature and quality of God, but of men. In other words, you just spoke a man idea, but I'm telling you, I'm standing on God's idea. What Jesus did when he rebuked Peter was he asserted a healthy boundary around his purpose. In other words, people have come to you. They said, let me give you a purpose. I'm going to put you to work in my factory, and I'm going to pay you less than you're worth, and you're going to give me all your time, all your energy, and I'm even going to trash your family because you're not going to have time for them when I get done taking all of your effort. And you said, yes. People came to you at your church. We need you to do this job and do that job and do all of these other jobs too, because we don't have enough help. And I know you're not good at it, and it's not what you're called to do, and you don't feel comfortable. You don't have time, but you know we need to do it anyway. And you said, yes. And now you have people violating your purpose, breaking the vase. What you need to do is be like Jesus. Set up healthy boundaries and protect your purpose. Of course, how are you going to do this if you don't know what your purpose is in the first place? So go back to square one. One, you have a purpose. I don't care what anybody told you. Let me repeat myself, because somebody needs to hear this. You have a purpose. Nobody is born into this world without a purpose. I firmly believe that. You have one. Now you need to go to the author and finisher of your faith and get it. Ask him, tell me, what is my purpose? When he says, your purpose is to shake a nation, you say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Now you know what your purpose is. Define it, and now you have to set up boundaries. Say, what am I doing that is taking me away from my purpose? Cut it out. Get it out of your life. What am I not doing that I should be doing to take me towards my purpose? God, tell me, what am I not doing that I should be doing to take me closer towards my purpose? Now he's going to give you some information. Do that. He's going to put someone in your life to disciple you till it hurts. Do that. Follow through and be faithful to that, because you know what? At the end, you're going to be a world shaker. Why? Because you can only shake the world out of the sphere of authority to which you have been appointed, and that is tied to your purpose. So let me let that sink in for a minute. Your sphere of authority, your ability given by heaven to impact this world, is tied to your purpose. Don't expect God to use you to shake the world in a sphere of operation that is outside of the purpose for which you are created. It won't work. It won't work. It will not work. See, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because I want you to be powerful. I want you to be effective. I want you to be successful. I want you to be the kind of person that people look at and they say, wow, wow, wow. Have you seen that guy? Have you heard him speak? Have you witnessed the conviction in his life? How can you be convicted about something you're not sure you're supposed to be doing? you need to know that you know before conviction can overtake you. Okay, so here Jesus models setting up healthy boundaries. He rebukes Peter. In other words, he tells the people coming in, giving him that offer that's going to take him away from his purpose, no, thank you. I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's not that. So unfortunately, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. I can't take up that responsibility. I can't apply myself to that thing. For lack of better words, he just said no. No. No, I can't. No, I won't. Folks, you need to learn how to say no. You need to learn how to say no. And you also need to learn when to say yes. Okay? You can't just say no to everything, because eventually you'll end up saying no to God, and you'll end up saying no to destiny. You have to learn how to say no, and you also have to learn when to say yes. And all of this knowledge is going to be accessible once God gives you his understanding of your purpose. Without that, none of this applies. You can't. What's the point of building a cage around air, right? You have to build the cage around the vase. Go back to the example I gave you earlier today. If you have a room full of kids and a porcelain vase, easily breakable, and you want to protect that vase, you build a cage around it so that it is no longer accessible to the bullies, the kids, the crazy. They don't know what they're doing. They're just going to take that vase and use it for the wrong purpose. But see, if you don't know where the vase is in the room, you just go in there with a blindfold and just build a cage anywhere, what you end up doing is building a cage around nothing, air. Or maybe you build a cage around the kid by accident. Now you're putting someone else in bondage because your activities are hurtful and harmful to others. Listen, you have to define your purpose. If you don't have a defined purpose, it's just as easy to destroy your own life and run into your own train wreck as it is to destroy the lives of others. Because if you don't know your purpose, how can you possibly apply others the right way? It just reproduces after its own kind. You see, it's really a trap. Now, Jesus modeled how to put healthy boundaries around a purpose. And as a good Christian, it is your responsibility to use boundaries to protect your purpose. Here's another example, because if one isn't good enough, I got two. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't just do this once. He had multiple opportunities to have his purpose applied to the wrong thing. And he used his boundaries to protect himself from all of those. Here's the other one. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus meets the Canaanite woman. Don't get thrown off by how Jesus responds to her. Let's look at what happens and how we can use this to understand how to be a good Christian, how to be an effective Christian. Because as I already said, a good Christian is not someone that just says yes to every need and every opportunity to help someone or something. That is not a good Christian. A good Christian is a Christian that is faithful to God to pursue their purpose according to the plan that he has for their life. And that may mean to turn down some opportunities that are not in line with that. And sometimes God will let opportunities come to you to test you, to see where your heart is, to see where your maturity level is. He'll let them come. And if you take them, get ready. You're in for a train wreck. Here's the deal. Jesus meets a Canaanite woman. Bible says in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 15, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, notice that. Jesus knew who he was sent to. You see, it wasn't his job to go to all the Gentiles of the world. That was not his assignment at all. He had a very specific assignment area, right? Now, he would later release the church to go to all the Gentiles. But Jesus knew at the time, clearly, the house of Israel only. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now, most people, they get to this passage. This is the only part they see. They say, why did Jesus say that? And they have conflict. Let's not worry about why Jesus said that. You know, frankly speaking, at that time, it was common language for the Jews to refer to the Gentiles in such manners as dogs. I mean, I know how horrible that is. But not getting sidetracked by why he referred to her in this way. When we go to the next verse, it says this, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now let me tell you what happened here. Jesus had an opportunity to misapply his purpose, and he rejected it on the basis of healthy boundaries, which he was using actively to preserve and protect his purpose. However, because of the woman's faith, it touched God, and her daughter was healed anyway. But it did not require Jesus to be pulled away from his purpose. Sometimes opportunities for ministry will present themselves and it simply isn't in line with our purpose. It's not in line with your purpose. That job isn't in line with your purpose. That educational opportunity isn't in line with your purpose. That relationship isn't in line with your purpose. Sometimes you just have to stop, assess the situation, say, God, I know my purpose, because I'm assuming after you listen to this, you're going to ask, and he's going to tell you. Then you say, is this in line with my purpose? And when he says no, believe him. And then use your boundaries. No, I can't do that. No, I'm not going to be able to apply myself to that. Why? Because I have a purpose, and I know what it is, and this is not in line with it. Therefore, what this will be in my life is nothing but death. Right? Because life is in Jesus. Death is outside of that. You see, so when you get outside of the purpose for which you were created, you're in territory of death. You're dying. Some of you who are listening to this program, you feel like you're dying right now. You're like, I don't know why I feel like I'm dying, but nothing's working in my life. My job's not working. My church isn't working. This isn't working. That's not. Well, okay. What in your life is in alignment with the purpose that God has for you? Answer that. Answer me that, and I'll tell you where your problems are. You know, and of course, look, I'm not casting down other problems, because we have problems because we come under curses, demonic attacks, people that target us just want to be mean for no reason. Sicknesses that come as a result of natural causes. There are all these things, and I understand that. But here's what I also understand: when we're walking in purpose, walking on purpose, what happens is that there is grace for everything that we are encountering. And that grace is not present in the same way when we're out of alignment with heaven's purpose for our lives. Folks, we're just about out of time. Listen, if you've been listening to this, and frankly, you don't even know Jesus, I want you to say this prayer with me, because you need Jesus. You can't have purpose without Jesus. Not true purpose. You need Jesus. If you want Jesus, say this prayer after me. Father God, I come before you in prayer today, and I admit that I'm a sinner. But I thank you that Jesus Christ came on purpose. He was born of a virgin, and he died for my sins and was raised to life on the third day. I believe that. And I receive this Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I renounce Satan. I renounce all involvement with sin, witchcraft, everything that I have been involved in that is out of alignment with heaven's best for my life. And I receive cleansing by the blood of the Lamb. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you abide with me and that you have saved me. Amen. Folks, if you've done that, please send me an email, www.bridemovement.com. Let me know. I can rejoice with God with you. And folks, remember, this has been Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. We'll see you next time. God bless.